Begin the current daven sechta sukkah daven mem hey. Begin 4 lines down from the top of the yamid. The gemara continues with the next mishnah. Again, continuing on the theme of the previous daven, discussing the halacha of arava. What the arava was in the base of mikdash. There was a distinct mitzvah was besides the mitzvah taking the arava with the lulav one of the dal minim. There was a special mitzvah to take the arava and do a procedure around the mizbeach, which was then later introduced in gvulin. Outside of the base of Mikdash to do this similar type of an avodah, which was one time, which is known as Hoshana Rabbah, is taking the Hoshanas, which is a reference, another name for the Arabas. So the Mishnah tells us, Mitzvah Arabah Ketzah. How is the function? Does one do the Mitzvah of the Arabas? So the Mishnah tells us the whole procedure. Malkam Hoyulamatim Yerushalayim. There was a place that was beneath Yerushalayim. Vinikra Mitzvah. That place was called Mitzvah. The Mishnah didn't explain the reason why it was called Mitzvah. Now, Yardin Lasham, they would go down to that area. Umalakten Misham, and they would then gather from there, Mubiyah Shalarabah, would be these shoots, these branches of the willows. Uboin Vizikvinoisan Bitsid Mizbech. And then they would come and they would stand them up on the sides of the Mizbech. Virashain Kafufin Agab Mizbech, and their tops of the willows would be very tall and would be leaning over the Mizbech. Taka Variu Vitaka, and then they would blow a Takia blow, Vihariu, then they'd blow a Terua blow, and then they'd blow a Takia blow. Now, the Mishnah tells us, B'chol yoyim, mekivin ez mizbeach pamachas. Every single day of the Yom Tov Sukkos, they would make a cycle around the mizbeach one time. V'aymrim, and they would say the following phrase. Ona Hashem Oishina, please Hashem, help us now. Ona Hashem Atzlichna, please Hashem, help us succeed now. B'hudaymer, he says, they said something else. He says, Ani v'hoi Oishina. Ani v'hoi, which is one of Hashem's names, please help. Now, there's two reasons why, according to Yehuda, that he said that they people said Ani V'hoi. Either because actually Ani V'hoi is the numerical value, the gematria of on Hashem, please Hashem. Additionally, Ani V'hoi is from Hashem's 72 letter name. There's many different names and combinations for Hashem's name. Now, there were three psukim that are near each other in Parashas Beshalach, where it starts in Perek Yudalad and goes from Pasuk Yutest through Pasuk Chaf Aleph, where it says starts Vayisa, the next Pasuk starts Vayaveh Ben Machne, then Vayit Moshes Yadai. We have these three Psukim, where each Pasuk has 72 letters. And from them comes out the Shem HaMefarish explicit name. Now, again, the 72 letters is one of Hashem's names. Now, if one goes through a certain calculation, one will get both Ani and Vahoy, and that is the first letter of the first pasuk, the last letter of the middle pasuk, and the first letter of the last pasuk. And each one has that same order, which the first, your first, with the first letter you're going forward, the second pasuk you're going, you start, your first one is backwards, and the third one again is going back forwards again. So, for example, for the first name of Vahoy, you have the Vav of Vayisa, you have the Hey of Halayla, you have the Vav of Vayet. Same thing goes for the other name, which is the 37th letter, which is a different name, which is, we can understand with the 72 letter, half it would be 36, and then the beginning of the next would be the 37th. So every 37th letter will make the name Ani, which you have the Aleph of Achareihem, you have the Nun, the first Nun of Ha'anon, and you have the, which again is going, because we're going backwards that way, and then you have the Yud of Ruach Kodem, which again is going that same order, the first pasuk going forward, the second pasuk going backwards, third pasuk going forward, and then you get both by the first letters, again, the second one going backwards from the, it's really the last letter of the pasuk, you get Vahai, and going the 37th, you get Ani, so that's again where you see that the relationship to Hashem's 72 letter name, so that you have Ani Vahai, two reasons why Rabbi Huda's version is that they would say Ani Vahai Hashina. Now the Mishnah continues and says, Va'isa Yim, that day, reference to the seventh day, they would encircle the Mizbeach, a circuit of seven times. And again, these are certain minhagim we have for Hoshana Rabbah. This is the same idea where we have it only one day, which is the seventh day, which even the Beis Hamikdash was the one that was more distinct than the rest. So similarly, we do that, we go around seven times. Now, B'shas P'tirasin Mahein Oimrim. When they would leave, what would they say? So they would say, Yoyfu Lecha Mizbeach, how beautiful it is to you the Mizbeach. Yevel chamizbech, how beautiful it is for you the mizbech. Rabbi Lozaim, he had a different version. He says, "Leka ulachamizbech, for God and for you the altar. Leka ulachamizbech, for God and for you the altar." And the Gemara will explain Rashi, and the Gemara will explain exactly what are these references and what are the shvachim saying. So the Mishnah continues and says, "Kimaseyu b'chayil, as it was done during the weekday, That's exactly what they would do. They wouldn't change anything if it was on the Shabbos. The one difference would be was that they would already gather it. They would take it from when it was before Shabbos. And they would put it in these barrels of gold, which was filled with water, so they shouldn't wilt. And again, you can't do those things on Shabbos, so they would have already prepared from before Shabbos. However, he says that actually the procedure was that charoyis, they would take these branches, shaldekel, from a date palm, hayimavin, they would bring it, and this was whether the weekday or whether Shabbos, and we'll explain the reason of his opinion, why he argues in Tanakhama. He says what they would do is, they would bang these branches of the palm tree on the side of the mizbeach, on the ground. And that day, the seventh day was called chibet charoyis, it was when they would bang the branches, basically clopping. So again, this is also another incorporation that many have for their minig, which is on Hashanah Rabbah, encircling the Mizbeach, but we don't have that, around the Bima seven times, and then clopping the Hashanahs, which again, there's Hashanah Rabbah, the great Hashanah, which was the seventh day, when the Aravas were done in a greater procession than the rest of the days. Now, Miyad Tanaikis, another thing they would do on the last day of Sukkot, on the seventh day, they would take from the children Shemtin, they would, the adults would grab away as luvehen their lulavim of the minors, of the children, from their hands on the seventh day. And they would even go ahead and eat the esregim of the children. Now, one would wonder what that's all about. What about theft? What about even a minor that doesn't have kinyanim? How about darchei shalom? There's a halacha that Rabban instituted that one cannot take things from a minor because of the ways of peace, even though maybe he doesn't actually have an acquisition in it, but we don't want people to just be taking their stuff. So, and that Rashi explains that since this was a custom that they had from many times, many years, that it was already incorporated because of certain ways of rejoicing, it wasn't considered theft, this was an accepted minhag. As Taisus even takes it one step further, he says that from Hiki you could learn to those bachrim, those boys that they ride on horses by the chasen, in front of the chasen, and they fight one with the other, and they tear the garments of his friend, or he ruins his horse, that the same thing, they would be exempt, because that is a minig that already has been accustomed, because of Simchas Chasen, that's already considered something that is not, that was unwarranted, because actually this is an accepted thing, and that's the minig. Same thing for these children, that there is no problem by Gezel Narchisham. So now the Gemara explains that we began the Mishnah by saying the procedure for the Arava, where they would get it from, for this taking around the willow around the Mizbeach, they got it from a certain place. So Tanya, we learned in the Braisa that Mokum Kolayni Yahava, this was a place which was exempt, tax-free area from the king's taxes. And that's the place where they would get it from. Now, the Gemara asked, V'tan didan, Maitam Akarle Maitza. Why did our Tana, as we alluded to that question, why did he call that place where they would get the Aravas from Maitza? So that the Gemara says, I did a mipak mikarga de malka, since it's a place that's exempt from the king's tax, Karle Maitza. That's why actually it was called Maitza, because it's excluded from the tax of the king. And this is exactly what the Brice was saying, that this is a Mokum Kolonia, it was a tax-free area. That's what our Mishnah means when it calls it Mokum Maitza, it was exempted from the king's taxes. Now the Mishnah also told us that Uboin Vizik Vinaisin Bitsidei Bechulu, that they came and then they would stand up these Arabis on the side of the Mizbech, and they would be leaning over. So Tanya, we're learning the Brice that elaborates on this halacha, that rabbis va'aruches, there were many of them, and they were very long. Ugvoyes achad asar amma, and they were 11 amas high. And the reason why they had to be so tall, kadeshiyu goiches al mizbeach amma, so that they should be leaning over the mizbeach by an amma. Now, the Gemara will shortly explain why do we know that there is such a halacha, but Amma Marim Meshum Razutri says, Shmami no, what we could infer from the halacha is that from the fact that it said that it has to be goiches, it has to lean over the mizbeach an amma, now it's not possible for the Arabis to be leaning over the Mizbeach and Amma only if it's at least higher than the Mizbeach by two Amas, and if more. Because if it's not higher than two Amas from Mizbeach, and it has to lean over an Amma, so then it's going to be dragging, it's going to be scraping the top of the Mizbeach, and that's not what the term Goyches means. Goyches means that it's overhanging, but not actually touching the Mizbeach. And therefore he says as follows, it must be that Al, that it's on the Amma, of where there's an indentation of hayisayid, of the foundation of the mizbeach manachlu, that is where they placed the bottom of the aravas. So it wasn't actually on the ground next to the mizbeach, it was close to the ground, it was on the ama foundation of the mizbeach, And that's where it was standing, and that's where it was hanging over, and then it was able to hang over the top of the Mizbeach without touching the top of the Mizbeach. As he proves this, because if you would entertain to say that they actually put the Arabis on the ground, and then it would still be Geichai, so it would still be overhanging an Amma on the Mizbeach, but Mechdi, let's see, let's make the calculations. Now, the Gemara goes through the actual description of what the Mizbeach was, and what was the exact figures, and then we'll be able to figure out how that relates to the Arava hanging over. So, Ola Amma. Now, there was a height of an Amma from the beginning of the Mizbeach. In other words, from the ground, the bottom part of the structure of the Mizbeach was a block, which was a width of 32 Amas by 32 Amas. There were 32 Amas squared. Now, in the beginning, what that means was that they would bring this block that was 32 amas squared, and they would put it on the ground. Now, that block only had a height of an amma. They would fill up that block with stone and lime and pitch. Now, that's what the Gemara is saying now, that it was ala amma, there was a height of an amma. Then after they did that, then they brought another block, which was 30 amas squared, which that block had a height of 5 amas. They put that on that first block, which was an amma high, and it was obviously indented on every side by an amma, because this was only 30 amma squared, not 32 amma squared. And they filled that up with lime and with pitch. Now, what that comes out is, the kanas amma, that means to say that we have an indentation of an amma on the bottom. Now, zehu yisrael, that's always what we call throughout in regards to the description of the Mizbeach, that's what's called the foundation. Now, on that indentation is where they would pour the bloods, and that's where they, from there, would come out to the floor of the Azara, through two little holes that there were in the corner. That's where they would pour it in there. So now when they filled up this new block, that would come out that Allah Chamesh, that it went up now a height of another 5 amas from the foundation and up, which that makes it 6 amas from the ground. Then they would go ahead and bring a new block, a third one, which was 28 amas squared. And they put it on the one that was the 5 amas high, which now that's indented on each side an amma, because instead of being 30 amma squared, it's 28 amma squared. Now its height was 3 ammas. And they filled that up with lime and with pitch. Now it comes out that it's a height of 9 ammas from the ground, which that is the gog, that's the roof, that's the top of the Mizbeach. Now this indentation, which was at the end of 6 ammas from the ground, that was Vikinis Amma Zehu Saivu. Now that indentation, we spoke about the bottom indentation, which was the Yisoid. The one on top of that is called the Saiviv. Now, because that's Saiviv means to go around, that's the place where the Kahanim were able to go around the Mizbeach when they were coming to sacrifice things or to throw blood on there. Now Merema continues and he says that Allah Shalish. Now then there would be, after we said which was the height of another, after that Saiviv was a height of another 3 Amas, so you have a total of 9 amas from the ground. Then they would bring another block, which was an amma squared with an amma height. That they would put in the corners. And they would fill that up with rocks and with lime and with pitch. And that they did for every single corner. Zehu makam akranis. That's the area of the corners. So that gives us the dimensions of the Mizbeach, which gives us a height of 10 amas. Now, however, one thing we see is that the height of the Mizbeach, barring the corners, which were for a total of 10 amas, the roof of the Mizbeach itself was 9 amas high. Now, this is where the cheshbon comes in. Now, if you would say that the arabas were placed on the ground, and obviously you would have to put it on an angle, because you have to consider all the indentations that it has to continuously going on that angle to get to the top, so it should be geiches al Mizbeach. Now, geiches al Mizbeach hech meshkachas. Now, how would you have it be overlaying the top of the Mizbeach? And that is, you can't have that anymore, a height of 2 amas above the roof of the Mizbeach, that it should be, quote, geiches on it an amma, as we said, because as it is, it's only 11 amas high, and the Mizbeach itself is 9 amas high. Now, it has to be at least 2 amas, we said, on top, to consider all the different criteria that it being an amma over and not touching it. Now, however, if it's going to be on an angle, you're going to be losing some of the height. And therefore, Allah Shema Minah, rather from here, we could infer that Ayasoid Manakhlu must be that it was placed on the foundation. Now, the way that calculates is that you're going to have 8 amas from the where it's placed on the bottom of the Arava is on the foundation. It's only 8 amas to the top of the Mizbeach. Now, because we're counting from the Ayasoid and up. Now, if one considers the angling from the indentation of the Saiviv, which will also take away a little bit of the height of the Arava, because you're going to have to put it on an angle by the beginning of the Yesod so that it can continue going up on an angle. So it comes out that the height is still going to be more than two Amos, because essentially you're going to have a little bit less than 11 Amos in the height because of the angle which takes away from it, minusing the 8 that it has to get to the top of the roof. So it's going to be a little bit, it's going to be more than 2, because really you have 3, but you lose a little bit on angle. So you're going to have that more than 2. And we said it has to be at least 2 Amos above the roof of the Mizbeach so that you can have the Amma of Gechiyah, the Amma of leaning over. And below that of the Gechiyah, you have to have another Amma so that it doesn't drag on top of the Mizbeach to consider the hanging down of the Arava. And therefore, Shema Menachem, from there you can infer that this that we said, that the Aravas were placed on the bottom of the Mizbeach, didn't mean actually on the ground, it meant on the Yisoid. So therefore, that was 11 Amos high, you'll be able to have the Gechiyah, the leaning over of an Amma, and not touching the actual top of the Mizbeach. Now, Amr Bavo, Revo says, my kra, what is this pasuk? What's the source for this halacha that the Arava has to be overhanging the Mizbeach? Where do we know that from? That we said it has to be 11 Amos and then the bottom being on the side and then it could be leaning over and not and getting over but not touching the Mizbeach. So he says, like he says a pasuk in Tehillim, where it says the way they're interpreting for this halacha is that Isru, encircle, which is, as we find the pasuk, Isru LaGefen, which is to mean to make a hakafa, to go around, Chag, on the Yom Tov of Sukkot, Ba'avoysim, with branches, Ad Karnis, up until the corners, which the corners are higher than HaMizbeach, as we said before, that it's an Amma above, so that's where we see that it has to go an Amma above the Mizbeach, because that's where the corners go to, and that's where we see the halacha of Isru Chag Ba'avoysim, encircle it with branches, that go till the corners of the Mizbeach. Now, once the Gemara introduced that pasuk, Gemara brings different interpretations of that pasuk. Amr Bava Amr Rabbi Laza. Kalanoita lulav bi'iguda. Whoever takes a lulav with its binding, which it is, it's bound together with the hadas and the rabbis, the hadas ba'avoysai, and the myrtle with its plating. Ma'lalav akasav ki'ilu. So the pasuk considers him as if banu Mizbeach, as if he built an altar, v'hikur lav karban, and that he sacrificed a karban, and shenem, like it says in that pasuk that we just quoted, and we continue on to Amud Beis, Isru Chag, which in this interpretation it's saying that Isru could mean also a term of closed, of bound, so that means the binding on the Yom Tov of Sukkot, which is the binding of the lulav, ba'avaisim, together with what's called anaf etz avos, which is the hadas, which is plated, which you have three different twigs that are plated, Ad Karnois, that is, we will consider it as if there was the placing of the blood on the corners of HaMizbeach, of the Mizbeach. So we see that fulfilling these mitzvahs, Alulav and Hadas, is as if one came to the Kronos of Mizbeach with a Matnas Dam. Another interpretation of that pasuk, Amr Bimriya Mishum Rib Shimon Yechai, and Rabbi Yechon Mishum Rib Shimon HaMachaisi Mishum Rib Yechon HaMachaisi, that Kala Oisa Iser, whoever makes, again, in this interpretation, means a binding, Lechag, which in the simple translation, it's for the Yom Tov of Sukkot. Ba'achila b'shtiyah, whoever comes with a binding, in other words, he binds himself to the Yom Tov, with means connecting to it, with eating and drinking, that he calls out to the Yom Tov for pleasure, with eating and drinking. And so Rashi brings a different interpretation, which the Rama brings down halacha, as many people have the minig of what's called Isru Chag, which it means to bind, as this pasuk is told, Isru Chag, with binding to the Yom Tov, by celebrating continued the day after, with eating and drinking. So either one of those pshatim, malal of akasev, the pasuk considers such a person ki'ilu ban mizbeach, as if he built a mizbeach, vehicle of carbon, as if he brought a carbon in it, shnemak, it says, isru chag, you bind yourself, you connect yourself to the yom tov of sukkos, by eating and drinking, ba'avoysim, which is the reference, how you bind yourself with, avos can mean thick, fatty and thick animals, meaning good food, arkanz mizbeach, so that again considers as if you came to the corners of the mizbeach, by doing a matnes dam, as if you brought a carbon. Now the Gemara continues with another statement by Rabbi Yirmiyah in the name of Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. Amar Chizkiah, Amar Rabbi Yirmiyah, Mishum Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. Kala mitzvahs kulam. All mitzvahs, for example, the planks of the Mishkan and the pillars and Alulav and the Hadassim and the Ravis, ein odem yitzeh behen ela derech gilasan. A person cannot fulfill any of those types of mitzvahs, only that they be the way that they grow. In other words, the bottom of where the growth is has to be in the bottom, and the upper part has to be on the top. Shnem, like it says, a pasuk in Shemais, in regards to the planks of the Mishkan, say, Atzei Shitim, cedar wood oimdim, that was standing, which means to say that has to be standing, how it grew. Tanim Halacha, similar in the Braisa. Atzei Shitim oimdim, what does it mean, cedar wood standing? What does that mean, standing? Sha'imdim derech gedolasan, that it's standing the way it grew. The bottom part should be on the bottom and the top on the top. Tava Acher, different interpretation of what does it mean, oimden, what does it mean that it's standing? Shema midin es tipuyin, that it supports, the word oimid can mean also supports, it supports its plating. And that is, there were plates of gold that were put onto the planks, which were placed with golden pegs. As the Pasuk says, Vesa krushim titzap is up, that you should plate the krushim, the planks, with gold. Now, what that is excluding is that they didn't just make one long plate over the plank, which it could stand on its own, because it's one large thing. No, they would make it that it wouldn't be like that, so that actually it was like the plank supporting the plating, not the plating supporting itself. Teva Acher, another interpretation of what does it mean, oimdin, is that Shema Toimar, maybe someone's going to say, Avet Sivrim Abatzel Sikuyim, maybe there is no hope, it's all hope is gone. In other words, from when the Oil Moed, when the Mishkan was hidden away, then that's gone forever. That's what the Pasuk teaches you, that it's seated where that's standing, that another understanding of Oimdin is, that it's standing, that it's around, it will be sustained forever and ever, and it's not lost, it's just not around for now. Another teaching in the name of Chizkiah, in the name of Yirmiyah, in the name of Shimon Yechai. V'amar Chizkiah, Rabbi Yirmiyah, Shimon Yechai. So Rabbi Shimon Yechai said, Yochalani lifter es kol olam kula. I could exempt the whole entire world. In other words, in my merit, I could carry all the sins of the people, and I could exempt them min hadin from judgment. Miyam shenevresi ad ata, from the day that I was created and up until the current day. Now, v'ilmali Eliezer b'ni imi, and if I would have also Eliezer, my son, with me, I could exempt the people from miyam shenevra ha'olam ad achshav, from the day the world was created up until now. And Vilmoli Yosim and Uziyo Mana, and if I had Yosim and Uziyo with us, who was a great tzaddik, and he was a very humble person, more than all the other kings, and he was Zeicha, he merited in the great mitzvah of honoring his father. And regarding him, the Pasuk says, Ben Yechabad Av, that a Pasuk in Malachi Aleph, that says that the son honors the father, that all the days that his father was a Mitzayra, and his son was the leader of all the people, as the Pasuk says in Malachim Beis, that B'yaisim, his son was the ruler, he didn't take the crown of the kingdom when his father was still alive. And whenever he would adjudicate a case, he would say it in the name of his father. So if I had such a tzaddik with us, me and my son and him, then I would be able to exempt everyone from the day that the world was created up until when the world will cease to be. That's how great our merits would be. Now, related to this, also Chizkiah in the name of Yirmiyah, in the name of Shimon Yechai. Vama Chizkiah in Yirmiyah, in the name of Shimon Yechai. So he says, Re'isi, Shimon Yechai says, I've seen by the actions of the people that B'nai Aliyah, the elevated people, in other words, the group of people that receive the divine presence, Behemoatin, I see that they're very few in number. Im Elephain, if they're 1,000, Ani Abanei Mehen, then me and my son are part of them. Im Mehem, if they're very small, that there's just 100 of them, these B'nai Aliyah. So me and my son are from them. And im shnayim, if there's only two of them, so then it's me and my son. Now the Gemara asks him this, that Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai said, is it really true that there's so few? He says, I saw the B'nai Aliyah, the elevated people, and there's very few of them. But V'amar Rabba said, Tam Nisrei Alfei Dari, there's 18,000 rows, have a Dekama Kutsh Bericha, that was in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shemek says, the Pasuk in Yecheskel, Saviv Shemayin Asr Elef, are surrounding Hashem, are 18,000, which the end of the Pasuk says, Hashem Shama, that Hashem is there. So we see there's 18,000. How can you say there's very few B'nai Aliyah? Now the Gemara answers, Lei Kasha. Ha, this Rav Shimon Yechai said that there's very few of them, are the Mistakli Ba'as Paklaria. We're talking about tzaddikim, that they see through a barrier that separates between them and the Divine Presence, Hame'ira, that it's clear that you could see straight through it. Ha, this, there are tzaddikim that are more than just a few in number, but delay mistakli baspaklar ma'ir. They do not see through a clear translucent barrier. And that is not so clear for them. They can't really see so clearly. Yes, for that there's 18,000. But the real B'nai Ali that could see straight the Divine Presence through that mechitza are very few. However, the Gemara still asks, even those who are, you're saying that they see through the mechitza clearly, are they really so few? But V'am Abaye said, Le'pachas Alma, the world does not have less, mitlasim v'shisa tzaddiki, less than 36 righteous people, demekabli apeshchinim b'kol yom, that receive the Divine Presence every single day. Shnei Mike says a pasuk in Yeshaya, Ashri kol choycheloi. Now the simple translation, literal, is that praiseworthy are those who wait for him. But the way the Gemara is interpreting it now is that those who wait for the group whose numeric value is like Loi, which Loi begematria tlasa mishizaba, that Loi has a gematria of 36, Lamed is 30, and Vav is 6. And therefore, how do you say there are so few that it could maybe just be him and his son, when we know there has to be at least 36 tzaddikim that receive the divine presence every single day? Then the Gemara says Loi kasha. You're right. Those 36 are also, they see, ba'aspaklar ha'meira. But ha, those 36, the aili bebar, they can only enter with permission. Ha, the aili belay bar. However, this we're talking about, that there are very few of them, is that not only do they see through aspaklar ha'meira, they could even come in without permission. That is what Yibshir Menuchai said, that's me and my son. But more than that, I don't know for sure that there are those who not only do they see ba'aspaklar ha'meira, but they could even go in without permission. Now the Mishnah told us that b'shas piti rasin, when they would take leave of the mizbeach, mahin oimrim, so what would they say? So the Mishnah brought two interpretations. Either they would say, yoyfilocha, how beautiful it is for you. In other words, how beautiful it is for you, the mizbeach, that you provide atonement for us, the Jewish people. Then there was the interpretation of Rabbi Elazar, who he said that l'ka u'lecha, for God and for you, we're doing this great honor of this service. Now that the Gemara asks, how can you do that? How can you say such a thing? You're combining, you're putting in the same category, in the same sentence, Hashem's name, l'ka, and something else, u'lecha, in other words, reference to the mizbeach. But in the Braisa, whoever combines the name of Hashem and something else, nekam and oilam, gets uprooted from this world. Like it says, a passing in Shemais, bilti l'Hashem levadi, only for Hashem himself. You can't go ahead and put Hashem with something else in the same sentence, the same shvach, and the same praise. So how can we say l'ka u'lecha? So now the Gemara answers, what Rabbi Elazar meant to say, what the praise was being said was, l'ka anachnu moidim. To God we're giving thanks, and that is because He's our God. U'lecha onu mishabchen, but for you, the Mizbeach, we're giving praise, and that is that you're so precious in front of us that you could provide atonement for us. And that is the term that the Gemara is describing of l'ka anachnu moidim. There's two interpretations that the word moidim could mean. It could either be a lashon of hoid, which is glory, or of hoida, of thanks. So that Rashi explains that it was two different ideas that are being said. It's not really putting them in the same thing of the same shvach. Because for God, it wasn't that we were giving glory to Hashem. We were giving todah. We were giving thanks. We thank Hashem. We're not being kaifer. We're not denying that thanks. And therefore, it's different things. Hashem, we're giving thanks. And for the Mizbeach, we're giving praise. To God, we're giving thanks. But for you, we're giving praise. Again, two different ideas. And therefore, it's not a problem of being mishat of Shem Shemayim with davar achar. The Mishnah then continued and said, "Kemaseyu b'chayil, how it was done during the weekdays, so through Shabbos." And the Mishnah continued. Now, one of the later items, the Gemara says, "Amar Rav Huna, my time of the Riechim and Bereka." What's the reason of Riechim and Bereka who argued in the Tanakama? He says the service was not going around it seven times. Actually, the avoda of the seventh day, again what we call Hoshana Rabbah, was they would take these charoyah shaldekel, these branches of the palm tree, and they would bang it on the floor. So the Gemara asks, what's the reason for his interpretation? Why was that the avoda? So the Chassid, like it says, a pasuk in Vayikra, it says, in description of the branch of a palm tree, which is what the lulav is, it says, kapois. Now, kapois is written in the plural, which means shnayim. There's two branches of the palm tree that we use. Achas lulav, one is for the lulav. The achas l'mizbeach, one's for the mizbeach. And that is the avoida that we do with going around and banging it on the floor. That's the avoida on the seventh day. Now, the Rabbanim, however, the Rabban who argue and they don't learn that we take the branches of the palm tree and bang it on the floor, that they don't hold that's the avoida of Hoshana Rabbah. They say kapos ksiv, although it's read kapois, which is plural, but it's written in the singular when it's chaser, and therefore we only take one lulav, not two, one for the mitzvah of dalminim, and not one for the avoida of the mizbeach. Another source, Reb Levi Yoyim, he says that the reason Rechon ben Bereka wasn't from a pasuk, like the first interpretation says. He says rather it was just logic. In other words, it was a good indicator, a good simen, a good omen for the praise of the Jewish people to take a branch of the palm tree. How so? Because we want to indicate that the Jewish people are ketamer, like a palm tree, which ma tamer zed, just like this palm tree. And that's why we take one of the branches in the service of the avoida on sukkahs, ein lo ela lev echad. The palm tree only has one heart. Now what that means is there's a type of a sap that's in the palm tree. For example, like nut trees have and a grapevine has. Now the difference is that the sap of the palm tree only has it in the root, in the trunk of the tree, which goes up to the top. But it doesn't go into any of the other parts of the tree. So it's in the sense it only has one heart, it has one source in the center where it is. So that's the siman we're trying to give, that so too the Jewish people only have one heart to their Father in heaven, which again, just like the sap there goes up to the top, so too by us, that's the siman, that's what we use, the charoyah shel dekel. Now Gemara continues on different halachas relating to the brachas that are said over the Yom Tov of Sukkos. Some of Yehuda Mershmul, lulav shiva, v'sukkah yom echad, the bracha that's said on a lulav is said for all 7 days of Sukkos, but the bracha that's said on sitting in the sukkah is only said one day. Now the Gemara says, my time, what's the reason for that? So the Gemara says, lulav de mifsaki leilis miyamim, by the mitzvah of lulav de dal minim, where the nights separate the days from each other, because one doesn't take the dal minim at night time. So kol yom mitzvah ba'be nafshu, so that comes out, every day is really its own distinct mitzvah, because it's separated from the day before. So every day you make a new bracha. Sukkah dole mifsiki leilis miyamim, but the mitzvah of sukkah, where the nights do not interrupt, because you're supposed to sit night and day in the sukkah. So kula shiva kechad yom erichadam, so all 7 days are really like one long day, because one long mitzvah, so you make it on the first day, and that's it, you don't make for the rest of the sukkahs. However, Rav bar bar chana amar Rabbi Yechanan, he says name Rabbi Yechanan, he argues, he says no. Sukkah shiva, actually, it's the other way around. The mitzvah of sukkah is, the bracha is all 7 days, but lulav yom echad, lulav is only one day. So my time, what's the reason for his opinion? So sukkah day rise to shiva, the mitzvah of sukkah, which is a biblical command, basukkah teish v'shivas yamim, so there we make the bracha all 7 days. Lulav dirabban, however, lulav, besides the first day, is only rabbinic in nature, it's a zecher l'mikdash. Sakad lebi yachad yom, so he holds that for a rabbinic, we're not going to make no bracha, and that is, even though we take it all 7 days, zecher l'mikdash, however, we're not going to make a bracha only on the first day, which is min ha-tayra, then we'll make a bracha like sukkah all 7 days. But the rest of the days, which are only Rabbanan, we're not going to make a bracha. However, Kiyasa Rabban on Rabbi Yechanan, when he came, he said a name of Rabbi Yechanan, he argued on the other two interpretations. He said, Echad zeh ve'echad zeh shiva, both for the lulav and for the sukkah, as our meaning is, we make a bracha all 7 days. Amar Yisrael says, Halacha, nokid de Rabba Barachana miyatcha. You should hold on to la halacha, the opinion of Rabba Barachana, who he says the mitzvah of making a bracha on the sukkah is all 7 days. And not to say like the interpretation of Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, who he said that making the bracha on sukkah is for one day. Because the Kul Amaroi, old Amaram that were saying in the name of Rabbi Yechanan, although they argued, however they both agreed, Kai Mekavasei Besukkah, they hold that regarding the sukkah, it's for 7 days, and we know the halacha is, that although we had three opinions, really it was two, one in the name of Shmuel and two in the name of Rabbi Yechanan, and both in the name of Rabbi Yechanan agreed that the sukkah is for 7 days, that you make the bracha, and therefore we know halacha is when there's a machlokes Shmuel and Rabbi Yechanan, halacha follows like Rabbi Yechanan.